Be seated. It is a joy to have Mike back at the organ, and we're glad that God's healing grace has been yours. We just sang, "Great is thy faithfulness," and I would like for us, as we begin this time in God's Word, to say thank you for his faithfulness, and bring to your heart a memory of how it is that God's been faithful to you in this last week, and then offer that up as a prayer to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to me when. Let's do that just for a minute. Lord, from one generation to the next, to those yet unborn, how faithful you are, how good you are. And God, we delight to have seen your faithfulness in these ways this day and in these past days. And we will trust you, Lord, for each new day, to know that as it comes, you will give strength for that moment, for that thing we need to go through, for that wonderful experience you want us to find. Oh God, bless our time now in your word. May its treasures just rise to the surface, and may we rejoice in you, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pick your Bibles up, either the ones in the pew or the one you brought with you. And yes, even smartphones will do. If they have a Bible on them, good point. Let's raise them up in the air and repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. Here the Father teaches His will. The Son shows His love. The Spirit reveals His power. Bring those down and let's pray together. Oh Lord, make my mind alert, my heart receptive, and your glory my greatest concern. And all God's people said, amen. Open those Bibles, or don't open those Bibles yet. In fact, all through the sermon, I'm going to be looking at passages of Scripture. You need to know that Enoch was a man who is described in Scripture as having walked with God, as having pleased God, as having served the Lord. And we're going to be looking at those passages of Scripture that tell us about Enoch. The Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's one thing to begin well. Oh, it's another thing. It's a better thing. It's a lasting thing for disciples of Jesus Christ to finish well. What does it take to run the race of faith for the long haul? To go down the pathway of life walking with God? Enoch gets only 7 verses in Scripture, the entire Bible. Yet he's listed in Hebrews 11 as part of that faith's hall of fame, folks. You know that we're thinking about, Pastor Neil helped us with that last week, of looking at this great cloud of witnesses that have served the Lord faithfully in their lives. Well, here's one that's mentioned there. His name is Enoch. He didn't die. God took him. A direct transport to the presence of God. You talk about finishing well. Wow. Through the years, he stayed faithful. He's an example to us of a marathon runner of faith. I don't know who said this first. It wasn't me, but I'm going to say it again. And if you know who quoted it, please feel free to share it with me. We're going to be tomorrow what we are becoming today. We're going to be tomorrow what we are becoming today. What can we learn from Scripture's brief description of Enoch's life? What was the secret of this unusual man's perseverance? How did he hang in there for the long haul? How did he become tomorrow what he was already becoming today? Three characteristics of Enoch's life stand out. In fact, they're the only things that we know about him. He walked with God. He pleased God. He served God. Now look up on the screen at Genesis chapter 5. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Wow. This is a basic characteristic needed to remain faithful through the years, to live consistently in the awareness of God's presence, to have someone look at you, look at your life, and say, that person walked with God. To fellowship with the Lord through his word and in a life of prayer. David is an example of someone who lived in an awareness of God's presence. He said to God, you know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. We need to have that ingrained in our minds and hearts that no matter where we are, God's there. No matter what we're going through, God knows it. God is there to commune with in prayer, to gain instruction from his word. He's not left us here alone. He's always with his people. And so when we talk about walking with God, what we're talking about is being aware of God's presence every day. He lived aware that he lived in the presence of God. That's a good thing, isn't it? To live aware that we live in the presence of God. It's walking with God 101. Meditation on his word, communication through prayer. Psalm 1 tells us to think about God's word day and night. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. Together, these two instructions describe the essentials of fellowship or with walking with God. Listening to him speak to us through his word and responding from our hearts to him through prayer. But now, Enoch lived in pre-Bible days. There wasn't a Bible to hold in Enoch's life. His life would have been permeated by reflection and prayer throughout the day, knowing that God had made him and formed him. The Jude verses that we're going to look at later tell us that he was the seventh from Adam. Think about that for a minute, okay? He probably knew from his dad the story about the Abel and Cain thing. How when you go self first, what happens? How when you want it your own way, what destruction comes out of that? He knew that, and he lived accordingly. He lived in a desire, we're going to get into that in just a little bit, to please the Lord. God's word will be relevant in our actions, our decisions, our problems, when it permeates our lives. If you're set on running the race with endurance, then focus every day on walking with God. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. If you were at the office any time during this week and Neil happened to come in, you were serenaded to that chorus. It was the song of the week, right, Neil? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. When we sing songs like that, we're saying, Lord, I'm aware that you're with me right now. You want to walk with God. You want to endure to the end. You want to be like the folk who persevered all the way. Then please know that we walk in his presence daily. Enoch pleased God. Up on the screen is Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. How do we please God? We know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need faith. We need that ability to trust him. But this statement does not mean that faith without any other virtues pleases God. Read the next verse on the screen, please. See if it's there. So what pleases God? 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, that they may lead a peaceful, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of our God and Savior, of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. To be a praying person pleases the Lord. To live a life of goodness out of that pleases the Lord. Read to me Hebrews 13, verse 16. And then Ephesians 5, verse 10. Faith is basic for a life that pleases God. We trust Him. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Prayer is central to a daily walk. We commune with Him in prayer. Lives marked by the sacrifices, doing good, sharing generously, please the Lord. But pleasing God over the long haul will be seen ultimately in our obedience. How many of you love the word obedience? Yes. I trust that you've come to understand that it's a very good thing. On my treks down 144th this past week, there has not been a time I've gone without seeing new, fresh tracks off the road. Many times they're connected with a car off the road. Slippery, slippery, slippery. And it got me to thinking. The slippery lanes of disobedience can cause any of us to turn aside if we give into them, if we're going down our merry way without that thought that we're walking with God and we're seeking to please Him. Let's say something happens in your life that sets off a growing bitterness, an unsettled resistance to forgive someone. And you find yourself sidetracked. In fact, you find yourself in the ditch. Bring it to the Lord. Try to discern what His will is in this situation. Begin to step out in that direction. Ask for faith to trust the Lord no matter what. There's an example in Scripture in the Old Testament of someone who was able to do this, and his name was Joseph. Remember that guy? First off, his brothers, what did they do? Yeah. First they were going to kill him. And then they said, oh, we can make some money. Let's get rid of him that way. And then, remember, he was enslaved and his master's name... Oh, this is a good trivia question. What was his master's name? Potiphar. Wow. And Potiphar had a wife who seduced Joseph, but Joseph resisted that temptation. And he was falsely accused and he was thrown in prison. You talk about a guy who could easily slip off 144th into the bitterness trap? It's Joseph. But you know what Joseph said? Brothers, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Every step along the way, even in those darkest times of doubt, he knew that the Lord was walking with him, that the Lord was present with him, and his desire was to please the Lord. If you're setting out on running with endurance, then focus on pleasing the Lord. Earthly life goal of Jesus was just this. He said it twice. My goal in life is to please the Father. If you want to learn what it's like to please the Heavenly Father, stick close to Jesus. Live a life of obedience. And finally, Enoch served God. Up on the screen is Jude 14, 15. You know, we got these new Bibles. I got to show you something really exciting. Are you ready? If you have your Bibles, open them up to Jude. Jude is the Bible, is the book in the Bible just before the last book of the Bible, Revelation. And I was reading Jude in preparation. We're going to read further down in the book. But look at with me at verse 5. Now, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Now, most translations put the Lord in there. This one puts Jesus because the oldest, most reliable manuscripts have Jesus in there. Isn't that cool? There he was, delivering the people of Egypt. And that ties in with the Corinthians passage that says, the rock that nourished the people in the Old Testament, they drank of the same spiritual rock, and then Paul says, and that rock was Christ. That's right. Isn't that exciting? But we're not going to look at that today. We're going to look down further at verses 14 and 15. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch had a job to do, and don't you think there was pressure to not do it? But he faithfully used the gift of prophecy that God had given to him and warned people who were rebelling against God's authority that judgment was going to come. Enoch did not walk with God cloistered away far from others. He was a spokesman for God in the ungodly marketplace of his day. The Bible doesn't tell us how long Enoch prophesied, but from what we've learned from Genesis and Hebrews, we can be pretty sure that Enoch served God right up until the day that he was not, for God took him. Can you imagine Enoch just coasting? Well, I'm done now, God. Pick me up anytime. No. He faithfully fulfilled the commission that he had been given to prophesy. He did that until the day he was not, for God took him. Someday we might retire, but you and I will never retire from our walk with God. You know you're getting old when your friend is 65, Joe. You know it's coming. It wasn't so bad when I was 35 and he was 40. But now it's hitting. But one thing you and I cannot retire of ever is walking faithfully with God, because he saved us. Jesus made the huge difference in our lives. He's the one who called us by name. We've become his children, God's children, because of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Psalm 92 says about that. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They're planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. So brothers and sisters in Christ, walk in his presence daily. Walk with God. Keep asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? Seek what pleases the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness all your days with the gifts that he's given you. We do this out of joy, out of gratitude for what Christ has done for us. We offer our lives to him. Let's pray. Thank you.
take my life and let me be a living prayer, my God, to thee. Hey.